So the people came to John in the desert there in his hair shirt with his leather belt, with his crazy hair and his fistfuls of honey and locusts. They came to him there in the desert, and he called them names, and he baptized them, and they loved it. And he said, if you think that's good, just wait. He said, there's one coming after me who is greater than I and more powerful than I, and you have never seen anything like him before, so watch for him. And then one day, I imagine it was a stormy day, the kind of day that starts sunny, but then the wind picks up and the dark clouds start scudding across the sky, getting thicker and thicker, and the electricity in the air builds up, and you know there's about to be a thunderstorm. I imagine it's that kind of day. One day, a man comes to John and says, baptize me, John. And John does. And just as that man is coming up out of the water, I picture a great peal of thunder, the kind that you can feel right in your chest when it goes off. And I picture lightning streaking across the sky. And I picture a great gust of wind blowing a pigeon off course. So the pigeon dives down and almost hits the man in the head and flies away. And I picture everyone laughing. Did you see that dude just get dive-bombed by a pigeon, is what they said to one another. Did you see the look on his face when he ducked? And I picture them elbowing one another and giggling to each other, everybody but John. See, here's what John had done. John had spent his life learning to peer behind the veil. John knew that this world is not what it appears to be, or at least not only what it appears to be. He knows that there's mystery just beneath the surface. And you can choose to spend your life just seeing what you see, or you can choose to spend your life looking as deeply as you can. And so John had spent his life peeling back the veil, and maybe God had given him a little extra power to do so. So when that thunder rumbled and the lightning streaked across the sky and the pigeon came down, that's not what John saw. And so when the people laughed, he said, no. Look. Did you see? The sky just opened up. And a dove, the Holy Spirit, came down upon this one right here. And didn't you hear the voice of God say, behold, my beloved? And the people still laughed, except for a few. There were a few among them there who had their suspicions about this world, who thought that maybe there was more to it than meets the eye, who hoped that it had to be deeper than this, who were so hungry for someone to tell them that impossible things could happen. And they listened. And they told their friends, who told their friends, who told their friends, who told their children, until somebody told Mark, and Mark wrote it down, and he told us the truth of what happened that day. Here's what Jesus saw. Here's what John saw that day. Something impossible and still true. Here's what it's like to be a minister. Our job is to try to see the world as God sees it, as often and as fully as we can. It's our job to try to be at least a little bit like John the Baptist, to try to peel the veil aside and look deep into the heart of the mystery that beats at the center of everything. And we're not as good at it as John, or at least I'm not. But we do get glimpses, mostly because you grant them to us. You put us way up here where we have a great view. You invite us into your homes and into your lives. You tell us things you don't tell other people. You trust us to come very close. And when you do, we see things. We start to see the world the way God sees it, at least sometimes. And then it's our job to tell you how God sees you and how God sees the world. That's what I've been trying to spend the last 6.5 years doing. Telling you how I think God sees you, but I am worried that I may not have done a good enough job. I'm worried I may not have told you all there is to say to you about who you are and whose you are. So just in case, I have some more to say to you on that score, because I believe that you are not what you appear to be. Do you remember Christmas Eve? Do you remember sitting in this very place? or one like it? Do you remember lighting all those candles and holding them in front of you and singing Silent Night? Here's what I think you probably saw. The black head of the person in front of you. A circle there with candlelight glowing behind it, but really just a dark head. Here's what we saw from up here. We saw a sea of candlelit faces. We saw you crying. We saw when your hand slipped across the pew to hold the hand of your beloved sitting next to you. We saw you gazing into that fire and that fire lighting you up, and you were beautiful. And I think that's how God sees you every day. Do you remember when Sabeel came to town? Do you remember when that Palestinian Ecumenical Liberation Organization wanted to come here and they said, will you hold a space open for us so we can talk about human rights? And do you remember when Boston exploded because we said yes? Do you remember when they wrote terrible things about Nancy and terrible things about the church? Do you remember when the world tried to force our doors shut and our space closed so there could be no dialogue? Here's what the world saw: a bunch of crazy people messing around in things they had no business messing around in. Here's what I saw. Here's what I think God saw: a church who was bound and determined to hold open a space for dialogue and a space for peace and a way to a new world, no matter how much it hurt, no matter how cut we got, no matter how sore our muscles became, no matter how we trembled. I saw a brave church refusing to cave. I saw a church committed to hurting itself for peace. Do you remember Ash Wednesday? Do you remember when you lined up year after year to come forward and have us get those ashes on our thumbs and wipe them on our forehead? I will always remember the parade of your foreheads coming forward. Here's what the world saw: a bunch of people doing a strange thing, getting dirty on purpose. A bunch of people reminding themselves that they were going to die. Here's what God saw. Here's what I saw: brave people who came forward for a reminder of who they are and whose they are. People committed to not forgetting. You let us touch your faces on that day. Who else do you let touch your face all year long? And you let us do it. Do you remember when Barbara Herman died? Do you remember when Mark Gosher died? I was there when Barbara took her last breaths. Do you remember when Mike Shimo died? I was there when they unplugged the machines. Do you remember when Ron Smith died or when Peter Southwell Sander died? We were there. You invited us into those rooms. And here's what the world saw: widows and tears and broken hearts. And I saw those things too. I assure you, I saw them. But here's what I also saw. Here's what God saw. God saw spirits taking wing, free of pain and free of cancer, and born into a new life. Here's how I know that's what God saw. Because I was there when we baptized Nicole Esposito. That was before she was Nicole Connolly, before she got so beautiful and pregnant. I was there when she went down into those waters and died and rose up strong. I was there when we baptized Peter. And I was there when we baptized Rory Raison and David Brode and Jennifer Glazer and Amanda Waddell. I was there when they went under those waters and it was not the end. They sprang up on high. We see so much from up here and from our places in our offices. When we baptize a baby and Nancy or I bring them down to introduce them to you, here's what you see: adorable babies. And that's a good thing. Here's what we see: a group of people who will stoop to any depth to get a baby to giggle. Some of you are grumpy people. I love you. And God loves you. But the fact is, some of you are grumpy, but you're not grumpy in that moment. I have seen your crossed eyes and your tongues sticking out. I've seen you pinching those toes. Here's how God sees you every day, doing anything, anything at all to make a baby smile. We've seen you coming forward for communion, and some of you come with your hands folded, and some come with your arms crossed, and some come forward and say, "Hello, Quinn, how are you?" And I say, "The bread of heaven broken for you." I've seen you come forward hungry and nervous and unsure, and leave full and fat and beautiful. That's how I think God sees you in every day. We see so much. Do you know what I've seen that I'm worried you may not have seen? Those two women up there, the ones who are kneeling, they have mullets. They're beautiful, but their hair is all business up front and it flows like a party in the back, and I don't know if you've ever noticed that. And Terry said, "I would never dare to say that in a sermon." Do you remember when they cracked our building? Here's what the world saw. A bunch of people who wanted to get their money back and their windows fixed and their wall fixed. They were ready for a fight. The world was looking for a brawl. And you refused to do it. You said, "We are Christians, and we will not go to court, and we will not back down. But we will make the world stronger by what we do now." Do you know that people from J.F. White come to church here now? People from our lawyers' offices come to church here now. People from the T come to church here now because of what you did in those days. Do you remember when they hired me? You hired me, who had no business at all taking on this job. I was 12 when you hired me. What were you thinking? Here's what the world sees when you hire me, or when you put Jeff Bonwald and Tad Allman Morton in charge of creating the jazz service, when you give a whole new service to interns, or when you hire our field ed students over and over. Here's what the world sees: kids playing at being ministers. Here's what God sees: the future of the church. And I think that makes God smile. Jesus came up out of the water and he looked up and he saw something impossible in the sky. And what it was gave him strength for those 40 days in the wilderness. Do you know what I think he saw? Old South Church in Boston. He saw an impossible thing, and it was you. You are impossible, Old South. You should not be here. You should not be strong like this. You should not be full like this. Here's what the world says. Old, tall steeple churches in the middle of the inner city, they're dying. Look at you. Here's what the world says. Churches that play organs and sing the old hymns and the old songs well, they don't attract worshipers. Look at you. Here's what the world says, that it's impossible to be liberal and evangelical. Look at you. They say it's impossible to be rich and generous. Look at you. Whenever I'm talking about preaching with one of our field education interns, sooner or later in their career here, I find myself saying this: just show them the gospel. Tell a great story if you need to, that's fine. Do biblical exegesis, but for God's sake, don't leave us there. Show them the gospel. So you guys, look that way. I mean it. You guys, look that way. And don't stop looking. Imagine the people across the aisle, dewy with the waters of baptism. Imagine them making those faces at those babies. Imagine them with crosses on their foreheads. Imagine them with candlelight illuminating their faces. Old South Church, you're looking at the gospel. You are the good news of Jesus Christ. Jesus looked up and he saw what I see when I look at you. He saw heaven. He saw a group of people who refuse to shut the doors, who say they will not stop until everyone has been invited in, who never stops inviting everyone who is hungry, everyone who is looking, anyone who suspects the world might be deeper than it looks. So, Old South Church, there are people on the streets who do not know what they look like with candlelight on their faces and crosses on their foreheads and water dripping out of their hair. They don't know how beautiful they are. And they haven't seen how beautiful you are yet. So, Old South Church, will you promise me that you will not stop until everyone has heard the voice of God say, "This is my beloved in whom I am well pleased"? Old South, will you promise me that? Old South, will you promise me that you will not stop until this place is full, until everyone is in heaven with you? Will you promise me that? Old South Church, will you promise me that you will never stop, ever? So be it. Amen.